Well, hello and welcome to our episode number 44 of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about the Gutenberg 10.6 release, features coming to WordPress 5.8, and the theme settings you can now do control in the theme JSON file. I'm Birgit Pauli Hart, curator at the Gutenberg Times. I'm here with my cohort, Grzegorz Stolkowski, JavaScript developer at Automattic and WordPress core contributors. Hey, Grzegorz, how you doing today?
Hello, Birgit. I'm great. I must admit, I'm very excited to talk about another Gutenberg release that is full of amazing features and enhancements. How have you been?
Oh, thank you. I'm well. This week, I spent quite a bit of time testing this release, and you are right. There are some amazing changes coming to the block editor. But before we head into the deep end of that release, I want to share a conversation I had with listeners on Twitter. Keith Devon from High Rise Digital asked a general question on Twitter. He wrote, "Anyone knows a resource, video, post, etc., that really sells the power of Gutenberg to a prospective client?" Laura Byrne, she's a friend of the Gutenberg Times, content creator and blog editor power user, pinged me, and I shared the recent WordPress VIP article with the thread. And the article is "How the WordPress Gutenberg Block Editor Empowers Enterprise Content Creators." And that really can help out with all the arguments why your client should use and migrate to the block editor. Although useful, Keith actually found it understandably one-sided, and he was more looking... He was more looking for a direct comparison between the other third-party page builders. So, and I had to say, I haven't seen any publication that compared directly page builders with Elementor or Beaver Builder with Gutenberg. The block editor doesn't have any page building capabilities, and FSE full-site editing won't be comparable with third-party page builders for many years to come. And then I remembered two articles by developers who replicated landing pages with Elementor and Gutenberg and compared the page load speeds of the final product. One was Kyle van Dusen with his post, "Damn, Gutenberg smokes Elementor," from January 21. And the other one was a little earlier by Munir Kumal, "Gutenberg versus Elementor, HTML bloat." And he wrote it in July 2020.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw quite recently a YouTube video recorded in March this year, and this was about exactly the same approach. So there was a comparison between a theme that has version for Elementor and with Gutenberg, and Web Vitals metrics were scored much better for the version with Gutenberg. Yeah, and then it's also a fun story because I had some internal meeting with one of the teams from WordPress.com support, and they asked me exactly the same questions, but I didn't have the answers you shared. So,
Well, if they listen to the Gutenberg changelog, they have the answer now. And of course, all the links will be in the show notes for your self-study. So now I would take those speed tests with a grain of salt first. Elementor can catch up quite quickly with that. And they're only one indicator of the comparison. And we're getting a little bit away from the feature comparison. And Beth Hannon, also a friend on Twitter, and she works for a nonprofit agency owner and works for a nonprofit. So we have a few overlaps there. And she asked me, "You really think it will be years before blocks and FSE being full-site editing, will be comparable?" And I wrote on the Twitter that the power of the page builders is more for the site implementers to build and reuse, to have repeatable processes with agent tools, adjacent tools. And block-based themes that use the full capabilities of full-site editing will take an army of theme developers embracing the new era. And so wide adoption will take about 3 years. Well, that's just me. But if you work with a theme developer ahead of the curve, you will get there sooner, of course. We have been working with the block editor since 2018, actually before it became part of core in production. And many people are just now starting to give their clients access. That's 2.5 years after the block editor was first released in December 2018. So
that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's very late to join.
And I think that's actually up for par, yeah, with technology adoption cycle. But I find it an interesting question to contemplate. What do you think, Jagosh? When will the site editor provide similar flexibility, stability, and tools like Elementor and Beaver Builder, and just bring it in perspective? Elementor is 5 years old and Beaver Builder is actually 7 years old.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a lot of time. But I would like to disagree with you, because Gutenberg has a lot of offer.
Controversy.
Yeah. It's, of course, on a different level. So what Gutenberg has, it's block styles, block variations, block patterns, reusable blocks, custom blocks, dynamic blocks. Those are foundation that are in their first iteration. And I think that's something that gives the power to the community to build upon that and make the progress much faster than Elementor or Beaver Builder did on their own, developing independent solutions. So there will be block patterns directory that will allow you to import, export blocks and composition of blocks. And maybe it won't take so many years as you predict to build that. However, it definitely, with the frequency of updates, we can see more features built on top of that inside the Gutenberg. But it might be years until the new tools are adapted, mastered, and extended upon.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We have seen the creativity be sparked in the first phase of Gutenberg with some great plugins. But we haven't seen many themes that yet embrace the full range of possibilities of the block editor. So maybe that group of extenders is not yet ready for it. Could also be that just now the block editor gets a little bit more stable in terms of interfaces and extension. I heard a lot from developers that said, if I dive into Gutenberg with every update, I have to change my code. So that's certainly something as well. But we will have that conversation in 2024 again, Jagosh.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Also, all you just said reminds me about the rollout of the block editor after WordPress 5.0. It was exactly the same cycle. So people waited until everything became stable, tested on production before they jumped in and joined, the efforts to build great things on top of that. And I completely understand that, because nobody wants to redo this their work all the time, especially in the case when people, by design, they need to rethink from scratch how they build teams using those new capabilities.
Yeah. So I found that was a very interesting conversation go down the line. So I wanted to share this with our listeners. And if you have any questions or suggestions that we should talk about, you can send them via email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Or just ping me on Twitter or my DMs are open. Jagosh, I know, is also open on DMs on Twitter. And yeah, so send them in. We are here for you. Now we have a few announcements. One is there will be a discussion this afternoon, and by the time you hear this, the recording is probably already available and we have it in the show notes, but there is a discussion about a universal theme. So there was a discussion about hybrid themes, where classic themes, that's how they're called the old way, is classic. I would say vintage, but that's classic. Are there ways to... Are there ways that conventional themes can adopt some of the features that come with FSE? And then there was the idea like a hybrid theme where you can do one thing but not the other thing. And then, so the discussion this afternoon is going to be about a universal theme. That's a theme that works with the classic customizer but also with the FSE, the full site editing template block-based functionality. And it's going to be a really interesting discussion. It will be led by Jeffrey Ong and other people from the themes team. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And then the other announcements I have is two calls for testing. Yes, there are two now. So Andrei Dragonescos has a post on the Core Make blog, help test the widgets editor for WordPress 5.8. And he covers in his test instructions the three scenarios any user could test, like migrating from classic widgets, adding blocks next to widgets, and opting out of the new widget screen with a new plugin from the Core contributor.
And yes, we have new plugin next to Classic. Yes. Classic editor now will be Classic Widgets, as far as I remember.
Yeah, that's actually disable the classic. Enable the classic. Well, or keep the classic widgets. Yeah, I need to kind of look at the plugin, but we'll have it in the show notes. I'm a little bit confused now.
Yeah, I think the idea is exactly the same. So you install this plugin and you ensure that the old widget screen will stay on your website.
Yeah. So Andrei, in his post, also urges theme and plugin developers to read the available documentation and suggest that they also tested upgrading from classic widgets to blocks and enabling and disabling theme support for that. And of course, third-party widgets compatibility. There are a ton of plugins, thousands of plugins out there that add widgets to a WordPress install. I'm just thinking the WordPress one, that's BuddyPress and BBPress and but there are Jetpack, but there are also, like, I know that some team plugins, some donation plugins, all that, they also have widgets.
Yeah, I think it will be quite similar to what we had with Metaboxes for Gutenberg initial release. So that's the same set of challenges. So I hope that people will report how it goes, because that's essential to make it successful.
Yeah. And also, if you have workarounds that you found with your own plugin, that you actually share that with the community. So not everybody has to go down the rabbit hole. So, and the team recognizes that they are not ready to decide to have the new widget screen, the block-based one, enabled in via opt-in or opt-out. And they feel they don't have enough user stories yet to make the decision. So if you share your feedback, that definitely gives them a much clearer picture. And now to the second test. It's the second, the sixth test for the full site editing outreach program. And this time it's all about creating a landing page. It's called Sticking the Landing, parentheses, pages. In her post, Anne McCarthy gives us a feature overview and a video of the test instructions, but she has about 1 to 36 test instructions for setting the scene, creating the template, and have various suggestions to customizing it. It sounds quite the real life example that we could encounter regularly in our web building journey. So once you are done with those steps, you actually get to create a custom footer and then add a new page and assign a new template to it. So doesn't this sound like great fun? And I learned a new English expression for those who are not listening from the US or UK.
That's
stick
me.
The land. It's all for us. Stick the landing is the expression. And it comes from gymnastics or athletic routines when the athlete does a lot of whirls in the air and lands firmly and confidently on their feet. Or an aviator who executes a flawless landing of the plane. It's kind of stick the landing. This is
stick the landing.
Yeah, stick the landing. It's all part of the service here with the House of Useless Knowledge.
Yeah, that's great. Can you tell me where you find all those calls for testing? Because I'm, watching those announcements, but I'm certainly not subscribing the channel that has that all.
So the widget test is on Core. Also,
I saw that one.
Yeah, and the other one is on the team test. So make.wordpress.org/test. You find all the things from the FSC testing. That's also where Anne McCarthy publishes the summary of the feedback that she gets. So, and that those are great read too. Get a little bit into the inside baseball of developing the feature, but it's certainly interesting to learn. If you want to keep up with Gutenberg and you're not necessarily binge listen to all the Gutenberg changelogs, there is a page on the core handbook under resources. It's called Keeping Up with Gutenberg Index page, and it lists all the posts from the various teams that deal with the block editor. So that's core, that's design, that's CSS, core CSS, that's core editor, of course, and there you can read up about their kind of the week. So, and of course, I'm going to share this also in the show notes.
Yeah, this one is very helpful.
We all try to keep it up. So it's kind of up to this day. So you see yesterday's post all in one screen. So you don't have to, because, you know, core is a very busy make blog. You know, and if you scroll through that, it's going to be hard to find the latest Gutenberg related one. So. And other teams have the same thing. All right. So we are now in our section, what's released. And yesterday, WordPress 5.7.2 was released as a security and maintenance release. So I would want you to stop listening to this changelog. We wait for you and update all your sites. Go now. Okay.
Probably it's also good to enable auto updates and don't care about that anymore in the future.
Good point. Thank you. So do you want to start with Gutenberg release?
Yeah. Okay. And this brings us to the Gutenberg 10.6 release, which was led by Cohen van der Wingerd. This is a community member that stepped in and helped with the release. And it was a second release that was led by someone outside of the Gutenberg core team. In the previous Gutenberg release, that was Ahit Bogra. And that's amazing that we finally get help from the community with running all that work, because that takes a lot of time. So big shout out to both of them for helping. And I also wanted to remind that it's the second to last plugin release before feature freeze for 5.8 release that is scheduled for May 25th.
Well, and the overall feature freeze is May 25th, but it's a week earlier for Gutenberg, because everything that needs to get in there needs to be in 10.7 release candidate, and that's released on May 19th. So that's the feature freeze for that.
Yeah, I mean, from my practice, we will do all we can just to ensure that all the features we planned are included, so we can like add them a bit later. But they, of course, as you said, the first RC of the plugin will be almost a week earlier. Mm-hmm. And
after that, only it comes bug fixes and, oh, I did this wrong kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes, because the plan this year is that the next 2 weeks will be spent only on bug fixes. And starting from the beta, we will only add fixes to the bugs found during the testing. So that's something new in WordPress core, and we are trying this approach to ensure that everything goes according to the plan.
Yeah, so if you follow along, beta 1 is scheduled for June 8th. So there is between the feature freeze, May 25th or May 19th for the block editor to June 8th. Is that's the 2 weeks you're talking about.
Yeah. And now it brings us to the section, what's actually in the release. And we have a lot of features to cover this time. And it's really amazing. So I'm starting with the killer feature, in my opinion, which is Duoton block support. It's something that you can enable. It's still as smart as experimental. However, users will be able to use that new feature. So what is it about? So first, big shout out to Alex Lende for working on that one. I know because he works at Automattic that he spent a couple of months preparing that. And code-wise, it isn't like a big change, but it opens a lot of possibility for users. So it adds those filters to the images inserted in the block editor. So it's similar to how gradients work at the moment, but it's so much nicer because it allows you to apply filters on top of images inside the image block or the cover block at the moment. And so the idea is that you have this picker that allows you to pick two colors and it applies something amazing. Can you help me, Birgit? I don't have words to say.
Well, it has, Duotone is, yeah, as you said, it's all about filters. And if you use Instagram, you have probably experimented with some of them that now come to WordPress. It's so the Duotone means two colors pretty much, and it will change the shadows and the highlights of your pictures and applies those colors. So you can have a duotone with white and black. So it's a black and white, but kind of thick picture. But if you have it, for instance, with a yellow and purple, then all your highlights are in a yellow color and then your shadows are in purple color. So, but what's also quite interesting and powerful here is that they're all SVG based filters. So they don't take a lot of time with the processing. And of course, every new feature needs a way to switch it off. And you can control those presets in the theme JSON file, which also, and we're going to talk about it later, came out of the experimental phase. So yes. Ready for 5.8. Yeah. So go ahead.
Just to add on that, so it's similar also how you can control gradient. So you can define your own presets for Duotone. And that's also interesting that the team author have control over that and provide some, you know, a consistent way of styling the site.
I think it's really good for featured images that kind of need to match your style of the whole site. And yeah, so I'm really glad that this comes in. I tested it and I really like it. I can play around with it for hours. So the next thing is the one PR that stabilizes the theme blocks that are prepared for the 5.8 release. So what are theme blocks, Jagosh?
So those are blocks that you would use when you want to create like layout for a page. I mean, by page, I mean like the whole canvas that you see on the site. So it's in contrast to the page content, which is, you know, only the thing that you would edit in the past in the classic editor, now in the Gutenberg. So, but it also contains blocks related to how you would like to present your content. So like this is post title, post content, post author, post date, excerpt or featured image. But this is also contains everything related to the query block, which contains a lot of child blocks like loop, title, pagination and different variation of pagination, which allows you to display a list of posts or. And there is also something you would usually use inside the header, which is site logo, tagline, or title. So those blocks will be enabled now. They are available inside the Gutenberg plugin, but now they will be exposed to the WordPress core.
Right, yeah. Not all the theme blocks that are available in the Gutenberg plugin will make it into 5.8 of core. We now have the list that we will kind of push over to the documentation team and say, okay, this are going to be the interface of changing additional blocks in there. And also coming to 5.8 is the login logout block that themes would use to enable administrators, editors, and to log out of their site from the front end. All right. The next feature is to display most terms in the term selector. That's for the sidebar in the categories and tags sections. There's now a feature that shows, or a section where it shows the 10 most used terms for fast selection. Similar as was, I think, in the classic editor as well. So that comes back as well.
It took a while to backport.
Yeah. And I think that's okay, because you learn a lot when you say, okay, this is missing, and how do you rethink something from new? What if I wanted to do it new? Why would I change it? Yeah, because that's part of deciding on what is legacy and what doesn't come over as the, yeah. And I think the widget team went through that kind of thinking quite a bit in the last year, because otherwise the widget screen has changed quite a bit in what is possible and what's not. All right. So for the enhancements, the block editor added border support, spacing support. Spacing support means you don't have to use the spacer quite so much anymore. You can use the padding that is available for certain blocks.
That's a huge change. There was so many complaints about the spacer block that it exists in the first place. And yeah, but it's finally something that we can solve because of global styles and the progress on that project. And I hope that in 5.9 WordPress major release, when we enable all the UIs for all those controls, that will be the moment when everyone will be able to achieve all their goals without using CSS. Let's say in most of the cases, because there is always something you need to apply with CSS.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually tested both features, the duotone as well as the padding. And I like how you can say, okay, I want padding 25 pixels around everything. And or you can say, I want 45 on top, 25 on the bottom, and left and right, I want 35. So you can unlink, and that's just a little small button in the interface, but it's don't overlook it. And then it gives you more control over the sides and the padding of each side of the box, pretty much. Yeah. And we will have in the show notes also a link to the updated documentation of the theme JSON file, what can be in there, yeah, how it's formatted and all that. It's very interesting.
This documentation is still very in progress because there are so many updates happening, so it takes some time to include that into this documentation. It's very long already, so that would be quite important place to start thinking about themes.
Yeah, but I like it how it's broken up in various sections, right? So you can find it pretty quickly. Now the block library, so there were additional enhancements to existing blocks, and I like very much the table border block support, the border support, as well as the color support. So you can not only change the borders, color and size of it, but you can also change the colors on the background and everything. So the table block becomes quite a very useful tool for not only for display as well. I'm reminded sometimes at the early beginnings of the web where you had to do columns in tables, and that's kind of don't go back there.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was 20 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
How I started doing web development with tables everywhere.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I still have a site that's out there that I haven't updated since 2002, but that uses that heavily. So then the query block got some enhancements as well, like a wrapper and align support. And yeah, it now has a spinner instead of loading text. So some small things and some big things. Yeah.
And there's also components. So we have a lot of changes happening there. So it's related to the project of improving the way you compose individual components. It's very necessary to make this type of flexibility to build UI for global styles, because there is so many new settings there, and we want to have the flexibility to presenting in a more structured way. So that's like the foundation for that. And so we had a lot of changes in that area, and it's mostly to align the prototype that was built before by John Q. And now the work is pivoting towards using native libraries that Gutenberg has and ensuring that it integrates nicely. And yeah, it's something that you should still consider experimental, but it will be exposed to the wider audience as soon as we start working on the UI on global styles. So
yeah, something just for listeners of last year, it's the G2 project that John Q had, where he had this all. The prototype was that the new components can be reused for plugin developers, and you have there out of the box as much as possible accessible and responsive. And he created a whole set of components that now come in. So there won't be nothing in 5.8 for that. And it might come into 5.9, which is in December, but it might even take until 2022 with 6.0. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that's, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's an ongoing project, but, and it's also huge. You have to kind of change out all the components and work in a, but when it's done, it's a consistent way of styling and a consistent way of putting those together.
Yeah, so just to add on that. So the whole idea is that individual components, as you said, they are responsive, which means that they will adjust how they display depending on the size of the placement you have them. So if they are in sidebar, they would render differently than when you would have a larger canvas like in the main area of the site. And also it contains, the prototype contains around 100 components. So that's why it will take a lot of time to integrate that.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, if you want to contribute to that, we certainly can hook you up to the people who are doing it now to train you and to make this happen. So another enhancement, the still on enhancements, is that there is now an experimental utility that allows you to fetch a remote URL from the REST API and then display that in a block. It's very experimental because right now it only pulls in one parameter, and that's the title. But check it out. It's the PR 31085, when Dave has a prototype up there. So it will enable you to have other people's titles or from a WordPress site, other REST API information come in into your site with a block.
Checked that one. Yeah. And it looks like it's necessary for the link insertion. So it will, when you insert a link, it will show you the title of the page. So that's really nice to have.
Yeah, but it can be used for a lot of other things as well. And every time I hear REST API, I said, oh, integration with other things. And I kind of, my mind goes all the way some other places. Yeah. So there's a small change on the interface, and there is this in the top toolbar, there is this pencil icon. And now where you can change the modes between edit and select, this icon is now called tools. It's a renaming. So that's where that went, just in case you were looking for it. And then is the next enhancement is something I really love, is the suggest block patterns in block placeholder states. That means that's just for the query block, right?
Yes, we discussed that in the past, maybe about the progress of development, and now it's final, and it's only for the query block for now. But it's something that, you know, if it clicks, that we could start using that for other blocks and maybe build even an API that will allow to integrate that easily with other blocks.
Yeah, so what happens is you select the query block to come into the template or the page, and then it suggests different kind of patterns you want to organize the posts in that. So it has a, and it displays it in your theme's colors. Not sure if that is just because it's the color of the TT1 block or the 2021 theme that matches this up, but it's very slick, and it's, you don't have to come up with the creativity part where you say, okay, I want the title here and the feature picture here, and then the excerpts there, and then the tags. So you get a list of different formatting and layout suggestions with the query block. That's very nice. And kudos to Nick Tsekouras, who worked on this quite a bit.
Yeah, and there is one very technical change, which is the change that the template editor will be inside an iframe. And it's similar to how the site editor works. You probably don't know about that, but it's something very important for plugin authors that build blocks, because that might have some impact on how CSS works, maybe also on some JavaScript if your blog uses that. So I encourage all the plugin authors to make sure that their blogs integrate nicely inside this template building screen. And yeah, reach out to us if you find any bugs so we could fix them. I think that's something that will eventually land inside the post content editor as a last step, but we are just, you know, trying to do small steps to ensure that we don't break anything. And I think this order of adding this integration is works so well, because we didn't have many reports for the site editing context.
Yeah. And I think go ahead.
Yeah, I also wanted to share that kudos to Ella Van Durp, because she spent months doing refactoring to get us to this point. And it's a massive amount of work that was put to make that happen.
Yeah, and I can see the benefits of this can be further in the future, because now that's an iframe and everything works in iframe, you can use the block editor also in different other contexts. So you could, for instance, actually put them into a dashboard widget. Here's the word again, dashboard widget. When people log in, then they can just kind of get into the editor and do some new writing or something like that. That's comes to mind immediately. Or if the block editor is used in a different content management system, it's probably easier to integrate it with an iframe than with pulling in the JavaScript library and all that.
Yeah, I think that the biggest challenge that we had so far was all the CSS handling, because WordPress provides inside WP Admin a set of default CSS styles that we had to reset before going back with applying that. And sometimes, those resets didn't work because new styles were added. So that prevents all that set of complications happening.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. All right. So the site tagline and the site title blocks, they got also equipped with padding and also with letter casing. So now you can have a choice between all caps or all small letters or title case or sentence case. Yeah, so this is important for people who are kind of opposed to do all caps and want to change it when they get it offered. Yeah, so what are the new APIs that come in, Jagos?
We have three of them, and one of them is JavaScript-based API to register blocks using block.json format. So this is to bridge PHP and JavaScript, so you can share the block.json and load that on the JS side. It's probably something that most of the blog authors won't need, But I want to highlight that there is this method register block type from metadata. And that could be also, that could also change. So we could merge everything inside the register block type on both the server and the client to make the documentation efforts easier for you, Birgit, and the rest of the team.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other change is pretty simple, but also related to block.json. And so far, it was quite hard to register block variation on the server because one of the attributes is active, could be only represented as a JavaScript function. So what we did is that you can provide an array with the list of attributes you expect for a given block to determine whether the block is active or not. So if let's give an example. If you have a block that has attribute type and you give the type YouTube, it's let's say for the embed block. So when this attribute is equal embed, then YouTube, then that will display the icon for the YouTube and so on. And that's a way for to make this API simpler. And now we can move on to bug fixes. And there is 28 of them. Ooh. I personally didn't watch this space so far. I was so busy working on integration on the WordPress core site. So is there anything that you found interesting?
Well, on the quick review here, I found that the button block now has the 100% width fixed, so it plays well with other buttons. That was kind of a quirk that you had to work around for it when you have a row of buttons. The list view got quite a few improvements with the site in the site editor, but once they are kind of finalized there. The list view is the previous block navigator from the toolbar with the three lines there. In the site editor, it now you can see it color-coded. So if you're in a template part and it gives you color-coded all the child blocks in there. And we can certainly use that also very well on the post editor. But right now it's tested for the site editor and will come to the post editor in a bit. There are some bug fixes for the themes. So, and especially one that the core block styles should not override the user edit inline styles. And obviously it did before, and now the user has precedence over a core block style. So that's a relief. Change. Yeah, that's a good change.
Yeah, I found one. So this is for the post content block. And actually that one was fun. So the way everything works is quite complex technically, but you could run into infinite recursion when you would insert inside the post content, the query block that will contain the post content, and you'll just, you know, create this mirror effect when you use two mirrors and you see like so deep inside, and that's now fixed. And this is like third fix for blocks. So the other ones in the past were for the template part and for the reusable block. I hope that that's the last one.
Yeah, but was it a year? Maybe it's about already 2 years ago. Yeah, we found that infinite loop when you created a reusable block with the same with the reusable block within the reusable block, and it wouldn't take long, and then your memory would kind of crash on the browser. And now the error message, I ran into this when I was testing it, said block cannot be rendered inside itself. Preventing endless loop is a really good fun thing to do.
Yeah, I think by design it doesn't look good on the UI, so just make sure that nobody tries to publish it on production. Speaking of memory issues, so there was one important performance change. So one thing that the core team noticed in the recent, after several plugin releases, that the performance has gone in the wrong direction. It's the time started to rise. So Riad Benguela, he started investigating what could be the issue, and he found that 15 lines of code improves the performance about 10 to 20% depending on the metric. So that's a lot. So
yeah,
this brings Kypress event. So this is the way how fast you can type, that it's faster than WordPress 5.7 release, despite even all the new features that were added to the editor.
Yeah, and on the core block, you remember there's always a performance benchmark, and you can see this quite a bit, how that changed. So the performance benchmark is that the test is with a particular sizable post, and that's 36,000 words and 1,000 blocks. And then it measures two things. So 36,000 words, that's kind of a book, right?
Yes.
And it compares loading times, and WordPress 5.7 had a 5.6 seconds loading time, milliseconds. And that is still a little higher with Gutenberg 10.6, but the Kypress event, the time that it takes so you can actually type is now less than, as you said, WordPress 5.7. So with all the new features and the new panels that come in, that's quite an improvement, yes.
Yeah, I think the loading time, it's expected that will take longer because of all the new block patterns. As long as they are inside core, it will be slower.
Thank you for reminding me. The block pattern directory actually has a second set of designs that's on the meta team, and they will how it's going to look when you want to submit your block pattern to the directory. And so there's quite some work still to be done to actually get it ready for 5.8. So we'll see how that progresses. I will dive into that later next week to see how that works out. But then once the block pattern directory, all the core block patterns will be removed from the Gutenberg plugin and Gutenberg core, and will all be placed in the pattern directory. So the wait is lighter. Which brings us to the experiments. And experiments are now with template editor out of it. We only have three experiments now. One is the block-based widgets, still in experiments, but testing is on the way, and there are some...
Yeah, I highlighted concepts. One item mm-hmm. which I find very interesting there is that there's now convert to blocks button for the text widgets. So those are legacy widgets. So it's very similar to how the classic block works. So you are using some HTML code and then magically transform into blocks.
Yeah, yeah. And there was an additional widget, I don't know when it came into WordPress, it's called custom HTML. And when you change your text widget that has a lot of HTML in there, it will remind you to use the custom HTML. Now you could kind of jump over that step and you're just converted to blocks. And I really like that. Yeah. And
I have also another one. This is for global styles, but in general for block editor settings. So there is ongoing work on REST API endpoint that is going to expose all the block editor settings. So this particular was done by Gerardo Pacheco, and he's working on the mobile team that builds native apps. So this is where it's going to be tested first. And that would be also great for all the sites that want to build some custom version of the block editor, then they will be able to take advantage of that. And this will contain also a context. So this will allow to customize those settings and provide filters on top of that. So I'm really looking forward how this evolves, because this will give a lot of possibilities. I personally hope to see the publishing of comments with Gutenberg in the future. And that's definitely a step towards that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also can see that the plugin developers would like, if they want to granular expose or React, whatever they're building, to make it happen to see if something is enabled or not enabled in the block editor, and then they can much easier figure out if they can offer that feature or not, whatever they are building. Yeah, so it's a good way. It's a good step to not only for the cross-team collaboration with the mobile component, but also for a plugin and theme developers to have access to that.
Yeah, that's a great thinking. I didn't consider that. So like you can check the list of allowed blocks and do some computation based on that and display different UIs here.
Yeah. Well, and now we come to the big feature. It's renaming experimental dev theme.json to theme.json and have a fallback for backwards compatibility. So that's pretty much the start of theme integration for block-based templates and other things of the theme.json for your themes.
Yeah, I mean, the change itself in the code, it was like 5 lines maybe, tops. But it's important because that means that the theme.json becomes a stable API. So from now on, we can expect that whatever is in the documentation and it's supported in this format will stay like this forever, right? This is how it works in WordPress.
Yeah. And that when changes are necessary, they are highly discussed and thought about, and then have backwards compatibility built into any change in certain ways. So that's how WordPress wanted to work, yes. So, and then for the navigation editor and block, I'm sure there are quite a few changes. But we're gonna skip this for now. You're definitely welcome to work with that. And I'm sure there will, after 5.8 comes out, the next big test call for testing will be the navigation editor and the navigation block. But it has been quite the journey for the team to get this functional. And they are, of course, not yet ready for 5.8. So we're gonna skip right to the documentation section.
Yes, and there are 13 items on the list, and I have one big announcement. So we dropped support for IE11. So there is no longer support for Internet Explorer in the block editor. And this means that it also will be moved to core. So in WordPress core, you won't be able to use the block editor. I guess unless someone will be able to provide some layer that polyfills all the features, but it's probably impossible at this stage. And like on this, there is also similar change. So because of that, we also changed the minimal supporter version of Node.js to version 12, which is the lowest actively supported version by the Node.js project. And that was also the change that happened at the last day of April. So we just align with that. So that's important to notice. So if you are consuming WordPress packages, you need to update your Node versions to 12 or better 14 or even 16.
Yeah, and so the documentation section also reminds us that there is a full site editing document out there. Of course, the definition for the theme JSON settings and global styles, the documentation, I think, is now up to just 3 days ago. That was the latest change. And we will link to it in the show notes so you don't have to hunt for it. And then there's what they also reorganized is the update and organizing of the block theme documentation, so that is going to be ready for 5.8, as well as the block patterns documentation for the block directory. And that's in the handbook. Yeah.
Yeah, I expect more movement in the documentation area just after the feature freeze, because this is when usually all the dev nodes, when they are compiled. So that also means that there will be improvements to the documentation. So those two align.
Yeah. And if you are listening and you are part of the documentation team or wanna be on the documentation team, on the block editor documentation team for end user documentation. We still are looking for contributors who want to take on some of the and change some of our documentation to reflect the new features. We will have a sprint on Thursday, May 20th, one day after release candidate 10.7 is out, where we go through all the release notes from 9.9 to 10.7 and look at the features and the enhancements and see what is end user facing or interface facing, so we can align them up with our Trello board. Just ping me on Slack if you want to be part of it. We will get you to the new contributor onboarding kind of place and see how you can help. Yeah, we need all the help we can get. I looked through the Trello board and I saw some of the pages still haven't been updated to 5.5. So it's 5.5, 5.6, 5.7, 5.8. Not every version actually has changes, but that's certainly something we need help with. All right, that brings us to, do you have anything to code quality section?
Yeah.
On the components?
There's 35 items on the list.
Yeah.
But this release is also huge. I think that PRs is 216. It's a big number of changes. And I don't have anything specific highlighted here. One thing that is, we talked about the G2 components, like the code name and the project. So there is a lot of progress on that one. That was mostly about removing the references to the prototype that we are using. So now all the code that is used is, all everything is now inside the Gutenberg repository, which is a good step towards. And we have like, I don't know, 20 or more components already there. And some of them were promoted to experimental. So they are exposed from the WordPress components package, which right. means that inside the Gutenberg plugin, you could use them in theory. And they are just prefixed with __ experimental, and they can change. So I'm just warning upfront about that. It's the usual way we expose something that is still in progress, so we can use in other places inside the block editor and validate our assumptions that we didn't do something that is unusable or something like that, doesn't scale.
You know,
there is a lot of. So we've been very cautious about introducing new APIs after WordPress 5.0, the initial release, when we had to accept some design mistakes for the code. And now we are doing it on a much slower pace.
Yeah, it's an ongoing effort. And I like that you're not only changing one thing, but when you expose it with the experimental flag, you can also, as I said, check if other things break when you use it and replace things for it. Yeah, so it's a very cautious way. Yes. So, and that brings us to the tools section. You highlighted that the remove for support for IE11 from the tools section actually brings a reduced build size by 6%. That's way more than the rate of Internet Explorer people out there.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that this way. But yes, now it's like 0.8 or even less last time I heard about that. Yeah, but this saves around 100 kilobytes, you know, after all this gzip magic and minifications and stuff like this. And there will be a bit more because there is also polyfills that it's a solution that allows you to make a feature work in the browser that doesn't support it yet. So if you have new web API, there are smart people that come up how to build that feature before it even exists in the browser. So that's another way when we will be able to save some bytes.
All right. So I think that brings us to the end of going through the changelog for the 10.6 plugin. We want to also talk about things that are in active development or discussed. And we have, I think, four of them that we want to point out for you. So one is the merge of the Gutenberg updates of 10.6 will be already coming to core ahead of the ahead of the 5.8 release, but also ahead of the feature freeze, because the last two releases, you have been working, Gregers, on the merging things into core from the plugin 10.4 and 10.5. When do you think? Yeah.
I started also working on 10.6 today, and it requires some more work this time because we move more features that are based on PHP, which is much more hard to backport to core. And that's one thing. And also there is an issue created by React Bengala that contains all the steps necessary to get us to WordPress 5.8. So those tasks are changes like bringing all the infrastructure for TeamJSON, the team blocks. This is what I'm working on right now. And all the work necessary for the widget editor and for the template editing in the post editor. And there is more. So definitely, if you want to see what's in works, check out this issue.
Excellent. Yes. Riyad Benguela also posted on his private blog an introduction to WordPress global standards and global settings. It's on his private blog because it's not officially part yet, and it's just part of the experimental phase and in the Gutenberg plugin and won't come to WordPress in 5.8. But if you want to read up about it and get prepared for it, it's an excellent tutorial and information about how the global styles will work and how the global settings will tab into that, and also have the technical documentation around it. So we will have the link in the show notes so you can study it.
Yeah, so I think just one correction. I think that some of those features will be in 5.8 WordPress release. The issue that I saw is that some of the names are still experimental. So, you know, until everything is sorted out, he didn't want to make it an official document. So yeah. I'm sure that he will bring that to the WordPress documentation as soon as clarified how it will work.
Yeah, thank you for setting me straight. Then, of course, we talked all the whole episode about theme JSON, which comes into 5.8, and that's part of the global settings and global styles. All right, yeah.
So there is also one important change that landed in WordPress core in the trunk, which is the development branch. And this enables pretty nice improvements for styles related to core blocks. So Ari Statopoulos, he has been working on that feature for quite long, and it contains two separate features that combine together do magic. So let me explain how it works. So first of all, each core block will have their own file with styles. So there will be an opt-in flag with the PHP filter that will allow the team author to say that I want to use this feature. And what we'll do is that if you render a post or page and it contains blocks, it will only pick the styles for the blocks you actually use. So it dramatically reduces the size of the styles loaded. And there is a second part to it, which makes it even more appealing, because now you could end up loading like 50 files for every block. So there is another filter that allows you to change the threshold for which those styles would be inlined into the HTML document. So it's set at 20 kilobytes, but every team author or site owner can change that. And it will ensure that, you know, the performance boost gets also from the fact that those styles don't get enqueued in the individual files. So big shout out to Ari for spending a lot of time tinkering and implementing that feature.
And getting it in there for 5.8. Excellent. So we will share, of course, the the GitHub repo for that, where he has a more detail explained, so you can kind of follow up on that. So that brings us to the end. I have only to remind everyone, there are two cons for testing, one to test the widget editor and the widget screen, and the other one to stick the landing for the landing pages on the full site editing for the template editor. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast, and this is number 44. And if you have questions and suggestions, as I mentioned before, or news you want us to include, send them via email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And that's it. That's a big show today, but we had a lot of features to go through. Thank you so much, Greg, for putting that all together and helping doing that part with explaining all the technical underpinnings of it. And I say goodbye to our listeners until the next time.
Thank you, Birgit. Yeah, that was a great show. I'm looking forward to the next one that will conclude all the preparation for WordPress 5.8 release. And that will be a great one to reveal what's actually getting in there. So see you in 2 weeks.
Stay tuned. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.